Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes.
Hello, everybody. It's the top of the hour, and this is a CPA Trendlines flash briefing. Today, we're with Becky Livingston, the owner and CEO of Penfield Marketing, a New Jersey-based marketing and digital specialty firm for accountants. She has over 25 years of marketing and tech experience. She's the author of SEO for CPAs, the Accountant's SEO Handbook, and the Accountant's Social Media Handbook, which we have featured right here. In addition to being a practitioner, she's a dog lover, an active Association for Accounting Marketing Association committee member, an adjunct professor, and a speaker trainer. You can learn more about Becky at penheel.com. Everybody who's with us today will be getting the handouts. In the handouts, you'll find some freebies and some links to more freebies. And with that, I turn it over to Becky Livingston. Take it away, Becky. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. So it seems like everyone's a little bit interested in all these Google ads and what we can do for you during tax season, and not just tax season, but any time of the year that you actually want to boost some credibility online, make sure that your brand's getting found, and whatever practice or service that you're trying to draw attention to, for example, construction, real estate, manufacturing, online shopping, whatever industry you're trying to look at, is a great way to use Google ads. I will just share my screen and we will get started. So as we think about where we're going to go and what we're going to do with Google ads, and we think about the success ratio of what accountants can do with Google ads, we're just going to touch the tip of the iceberg. We're actually not going to be on the iceberg. We're going to be flying over it today. So some of the questions that we're going to answer are, why should you do it? How common is it for accounting firms to use Google ads? How much does it cost? Because that's the big factor. Do you get the return on investment? Can I target ads to a zip code, country, region? Yes, we're going to talk about all that, how you can target your messaging. And will you get leads? That's a big one. There's no point doing this if you're not going to be reaching an audience that you can collect information from and generate a lead from. And then what should I be doing now for busy season? And this isn't just for tax season. It's for whenever you have a busy season. So as you think about your own firm, your own industries and service lines within your firm, they might have all different kinds of ebbs and flows as far as busy season. You know, employee benefit plan audits, they start really getting into gear in the early summer. So your busy season is not the same as tax season. So I use busy season because you can run ads for any time of the year to maximize the lead generation opportunity for your firm. So some of the things that we're going to talk about today are, you know, generating traffic to your website. How do we do that? Increasing lead generation opportunities for you and your firm, members of your firm, other partners in your firm, if you have them, how to outperform your competition. Oh yeah, that darn competition. You know, they're spending money on ads too. So how can you outperform them? And here's a little sneak peek. You can buy their terms. So let's say, for example, you want to compete with a big four. Go ahead and buy their term. It's okay. It's not illegal. You can do it. So whenever someone's looking for their brand, oh, your brand shows up too. How to get a high return on investment. Big deal. No point spending money if you aren't going to make that money back some way, somehow. And then we're also going to look at the bonus toolkit. Here are some of the things that you're going to get from attending the webinar today. You get the free Google Ads Primer book. This book is geared toward accountants only. There's tax examples in here. There's audit examples in here. Different types of industry lines. I actually create ads in this booklet that walk you through the whole process. You can also register for 2 Zoom sessions, 30 minutes each, on how to conduct keyword research and establishing your budget, and then also how to create a campaign and the ads. That's in the bonus toolkit. I've also included a link to the slides and a couple of additional little things that you might be interested in downloading. So that's what you get with the bonus toolkit. That's the landing page for it. Feel free to register if you want to get a couple of sessions for free, 30 minutes each. And we can schedule those over the next few weeks or even into the mid-fall, if that works better for your firm. So let's get right into it. Why should you do it? Well, if you're paying any attention to your organic search, which is where does your brand show up in search engines organically without paying for it? If your brand is not showing up on the first 2 pages, this can be a supplemental tool you can use to increase your search ranking. All it does is it helps to get you onto the first page, which is where everybody wants to be, of course. But in addition to if you have a local listing for your business, your local listing usually shows up on the first page within a 50-mile radius. But I have a client in Texas. Texas is a little bit bigger than 50 miles in radius. So we have to make sure that he can show up in the multiple city areas that he wants to. So we're using some advertising dollars to help get him on the front page in those cities that he wants to target. In addition, it supports his organic efforts that he's doing. It helps you to control who can see your ad and exclude those you don't want to see your ad. I'll talk a little bit about how you can use exclusion terms like jobs, salary, exam, tests. We don't want your ads to show up for people looking for the CPA exam. It's a waste of budget. It's a waste of time, effort, and energy. So we can exclude that. We can exclude by age. We can exclude by household income. We can exclude geographic regions within a region. We can exclude gender. There's lots of things we can adjust the account to do to make sure that we're targeting only the people that are your target market. It helps to increase your brand awareness by geography, industry, target market. So let's say, for example, I have a client in Colorado who also does stuff in Florida because they have an office in Florida as well. His major office is in Colorado. So we want to increase his brand awareness in Florida because they just purchased a firm down there. They're changing the name, blah, blah, blah. We need to increase his brand awareness in a different geography. Some of my clients are trying to break into some new industries. We have to look at what those target terms are. How can we get there quickly? Organically, it takes a long time. It can take 12 to 18 months to 2 years organically. But with advertising, you can get into those industries a lot quicker. It helps you to generate leads for a specific business goal. And everybody always says, oh, isn't it just sales? Not always. It could be a lead generation opportunity within a market. For example, high net worth. It could be a lead generation opportunity in a geographic area that you're breaking into. You just purchased a firm there, or you've got a satellite office in that area and you want to break in that way. Maybe you have a specific goal of increasing leads in a particular revenue stream. How big is that firm? What does that look like? So it can help you generate leads for a specific business goal. And usually when I think about Google Ads, this is where I start. What are some of the firm's goals? 3 to 5 of them. Give me those goals. 3 is better than 5, but give me 3 major goals, and then we can develop advertising to maximize return on investment with, you know, and making sure the budget is streamlined as possible to help you meet those business goals. You can challenge the competition, especially if they're running ads. So this is always a fun one. I love to do this competition stuff because just because another firm is showing up on the first page of Google doesn't mean that you can't show up on the first page of Google right beside them, either above them or below them. There's some tools and tricks you can do within the tool itself to make sure that if this shows up, you show up before that ad. There's some little tricks that you can do within the tool, and I probably talk about that in the Google Ads book. And then the last couple is, it's faster than relying completely on SEO, which is organic. That, as I said, can take up to 2 years to get any real traction. And then finally, remarketing options. And remarketing is, if you've ever noticed this, which you probably have, maybe you put a search into, maybe you're looking at something on Facebook. Next thing you go over to a blog and there's an ad for that thing you were just looking at on Facebook or Amazon. Then you go someplace else and oh, there's that ad again. Remarketing options, Google allows you to do that. Bing also does this. Remarketing options. So let's say you run a banner ad, like a rectangle, and it's running on an industry website that you're interested in for your firm. That ad can then show up in other places due to Google's remarketing options. Maybe it's a text ad that shows up in Gmail. Maybe it's a banner ad that goes to YouTube. Maybe it's a text ad that shows up in another one of their 250 platforms. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to easily remarket your existing ads into other Google places that follow your people around. It kind of freaks people out when they see that stuff, but it makes them kind of remember, oh yeah, I saw that brand, or oh, I remember that firm. So remarketing, that's why you should do it. How common is it? Well, I couldn't find any real hard stats about this, but I saw some quotes and some information from other resources related to the industry. So here's Michael saying, even if your firm ranks highly organically, there can still be a benefit in paying for search engine marketing such as Google Ads. So if your website ranks pretty high in Google, maybe it's on the first page or the second page, that doesn't mean you should completely say, I don't need to spend money on advertising. What you should think about then is, can you target an ad for a specific thing? For example, Rick's webinar today. If he wanted to increase the number of registrants, he could do a very quick ad campaign. Maybe he runs it for 2 weeks before the webinar, probably gives us a budget of $50 and says, let's run this. We're going to focus on Google Ads in the accounting profession, different types of terms. It's going to boost the advertisement to the top of the page. And his brand name, his webinar will not show up on the first page organically. It's too quick. So it's just going to boost a specific thing related to something he wants to promote. So how common is it? 60% of consumers conduct online research before making any purchase. This is according to Thomson Reuters. 60% of consumers conduct online research. Now, the word that throws me there is consumers. Now, this doesn't mean we're talking B2C. It just means people who buy products online or services online, 60%. Google Ads is the most popular pay-per-click service, according to Hinge Marketing. And if you know anything about Hinge, they are pretty reputable within our space as far as firms that are forward-thinking. And then finally, high-growth firms spend more on digital and continue to outpace their slower-paced peers, according to the Association for Accounting Marketing Growth Trends article that I just read the other day. So high-growth firms, it doesn't mean they're a big four. It just means they're firms that are rapidly expanding in their industry, in their service lines, in their geographic regions, spend more on digital and continue to outpace their lower growing peers. So it's pretty common for those people who are looking to move the needle. If you're, you know, pretty comfortable where you are, then it might not be in your marketing strategy, but it's not something you should avoid or think that you need to spend thousands of dollars on, because you don't. How much does it cost? Look at that, leads right into it. You don't have to spend a ton of money. You can run a campaign for as little as $100 if it's short-term and very focused, meaning we know geography, we know either zip codes, counties, or in some cases a state like Rhode Island, a small enough state. we might be able to run it for a whole month on $100 if we're running it 2 or 3 days a week at certain times of the day. It depends on how big our audience is. So there are opportunities to spend a small budget and still be able to move the needle. Here's an example. An individual tax service in one zip code for about 2 to 3 weeks during peak season, or 4 to 5 weeks in off-peak season, is possible for about $200. An individual tax service in one zip code. So even if you're a small firm and you want to expand your reach in your community, you could do that for a very little amount of money. It's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, I've had clients come to me and say, I've talked to other agencies. They tell me I have to flat start with $2,500 a month. No, that's not true. What's true is we need to be able to determine who you're trying to attract. And then I can tell you how much it's going to cost you based on who you're attracting and what they're searching for. For example, during tax season, some tax terms can cost as much as $50 a click. We try to avoid those ones because they're too expensive. Your budget has to be a lot higher. Is there something we can do with that term? Maybe like adding in your town. So we add a term in your town and it doesn't cost $50 a click. It costs $2.50 a click. Hey, there's a win for us. That's how we look at it. So there's definitely opportunities here to maximize your budget and get what you're looking for. Can you target ads? Yes. You can target advertisements by right down to a zip code. You can target by a county. You can target geographically by a region. So for example, I'm in New Jersey, so I do a lot of tri-state marketing, which is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. But I also have some other people that want to just hit a zip code, or maybe they want to hit different states. Maybe they want to hit New York, maybe Miami, and maybe LA. We can split this campaign geographic region if we want to. I have a client in Indiana right now. They have 5 office locations, and we were running it by city. So we were running it by geographic location, by city. And then I started running it by county because I saw that some of the towns were located in the same county. So then I started running the ads by county, and we saw a better click-through rate by county because we weren't just hitting their towns. We were hitting the towns near those towns where their office is located. So it worked out better for them. So we're focusing the campaigns now on county versus city. But we have a lot of flexibility here. And also keep in mind, the larger the geography, the bigger the budget. I have had people come to me and say, I want the whole United States. And I said, for $50, not going to happen. By the time you get out of the East Coast, your budget's going to be spent. You're never even going to get to Chicago. So we have to look at, let's keep this in perspective here. If you want the whole United States, we have to slice and dice that campaign because the cost on in one town or one state for a click could be very different than a cost in another state in another city. And I've done comparisons between Chicago and towns in Mississippi so people can see the cost differentiator. There's a lot of things that we need to do, but we need to start with your business goal and then your target market to make sure we can maximize this budget. And you can also restrict ads. I mentioned that. We can restrict it by many things. Age. Term, meaning a word we do not want our ads to show up for, household income, zip code, keyword. There's many ways that we can restrict your ad from showing up. That helps prevent people from clicking on it, one, by accident, and two, maybe with intent, meaning your competitors are looking at your ads and they're clicking on it, so you blow your budget. And then there you go. And these things do happen. They're called spam bots. Anyway, we won't get into the details there, but it can happen. And it does happen. So will I get leads? Yes, you can get leads. And there's a few things that have to come into play for you to be successful. When your ads are done well, you'll get leads. When I talk about done well, that means the ad is written in a way that your audience is going to respond to it. Then when they click on the ad, they complete the action you want them to. Here's an example from Tax Advice. It's called a landing page. It talks about what the thing is that the person just landed on. It has three bullet points, which are benefits or something related to the pain points the customer is having, and a very simple form to complete. That's the lead, is the form that gets completed. So what Google says is they follow the person who clicks on the ad. The person clicks on the ad, they land on your landing page. Do they stay on your landing page and complete the action? Contact us, subscribe, join now, register, whatever the action is. The more people that complete the action, the less your ad is going to cost. Because Google says, hey, you're pretty good at this. You're effective. People like what you're doing. So what does it take? It takes thinking about what it is you're promoting, the pain point. Usually it's a great place to start. What are the pain points for your customers? Creating an effective landing page, generally with three to five benefits, not a lot of text, and a simple form that needs to be completed. The longer the form, the less likely people are going to complete it. I often recommend to my clients to put in some trigger form field. For example, if it's important to them about the company's revenue stream, we can ask that question. What is your company's revenue? If it's important to know what industry they're coming in from, we can add an industry field with a drop-down box. If it's important to know what state, city, town, we can put that in a drop-down box. Those kinds of things can be in a form field. Make it as easy as possible for the person to complete the form. The next step is number three, well-written creative. I'm going to show you a little trick about how to do that. That's probably the hardest part. I mean, you guys are the math people, you're people who understand numbers. I'm a writing person, so I get the writing piece. You know, how well-written are they? How creative are the ads? Are the ads going to draw attention to what you want them to? That's important. And also following the Google's guidelines, because they are very strict about how long a headline can be, how long a description field can be, et cetera. Number four, appropriate budget and targeting. Now I can say, yes, we can do something for you for $100 or $200 or $5,000. You can tell me the budget. But what I want to do is make sure that I'm maximizing what you're getting. So before we ever create anything, we do some research to find out how much could it cost you geographically for these terms in this industry. And then I can tell you what that budget's going to be for you to be effective. $5 a day, $10 a day, $25 a day, a budget of $100, $200, $5,000, whatever it is. We can do an estimate for you with research. And then there's also a time factor. If you run this for one day, are you going to reach your goal? No. But does that mean if Rick wanted to promote this webinar, could he have run it for 2 weeks with the intent to gain 25 leads? Very likely he could do that within 2 weeks. Yes. So it's all, these are some of the elements that you need to be thinking about. Here's a bonus tip. It's a tool called Karuya. So I was just talking about Google saying, are your ads written well? Well, this little bugger, it's free to use. I love it. I use it every time I'm doing Google ads. If you look at this screen, you'll see headline 6, headline 19. There's 25 characters for each headline, including spaces. And the description field is 60 characters, including spaces. It's not easy to write like this with restrictions on character space. So I use this little tool, and it also helps me to show my clients what an ad will look like before it ever runs. So this is a little tool I use. You can export the example into an Excel document. So then you can put it into Google Ads if you wanted to. You can take screenshots like I've done here, share it with other people if they need to review it. So you can actually see what your ad will look like before it's completed. It also gives me the ideas to see all of the other stuff I can put in my ad for free. Why wouldn't you put them in there? You can have additional links to your website content. You can put your phone number in there. You can put an address in there. That way people can call you if they need to call you and they're on the mobile device. Or if they're near your office, they can stop in, make an appointment, do all those kinds of things. So this is a little tool. I talk about this in the ad booklet too. It's called Karuya. It's a crazy name spelling thing, but let me tell you, it saves you a ton of time in the end, especially if you're not a writer. So what should you do now? First thing is to think about, define your goal. Don't give me 10 goals. Don't think about 10 goals. Think about one goal at a time and define the market that you want to buy that service, that who's going to be in that industry, who is going to be buying the stuff that you're trying to sell. Then we look at research, keywords, and budget. Now, I wouldn't expect you to come to me with 20 kinds of keywords, but I would hope that you would know a couple of them. And a lot of times what happens is I have accountants come to me and say, I want this term, like this new term, fractional CFO. That's a term that's kind of trending in the accounting industry. But I can tell you now, consumers who are looking for that service do not call it fractional CFO. So I might toss that into the keyword search, but I'm going to tell you now it's not going to come up with any results because no one searches that way. They search for virtual CFO or outsourced CFO or remote CFO. They don't search for the word fractional. So I'll take that term. You'll tell me fractional CFO. I'll put it in and go, I already know it's not going to work. But I'll put it in so you can see no one searches for it. But here are other terms related to it that people do use. We're going to use those because that's what the consumer knows. So then we do research. Developing a quality landing page and create the campaign to go with the ad. You can't just send them to your homepage or your blog page. You need to send them somewhere where there's a form. Contact us is not going to work. How do you feel when you walk in a store and the salesperson is right there on you? What can I help you with today? You need any help? How about this right over here? How do you feel about that? It makes you feel like, wait a second, I haven't even looked around yet. Same concept here. We want to give them a feel for what it is that they're looking at purchasing and give them an opportunity to make that lead happen. And then, of course, monitoring, adjusting, and reporting. Without that element, you don't know how successful your ads are or if they need to be adjusted. If they need to be adjusted as we're moving through things. Here are some of the resources that I use to create this slide deck. If you want to go crazy about where I got all this information from, aside from experience. And that's all I have for you guys. I see there's a few questions over in the chat, and we're at 12:28. So Rick, I'm going to throw this back to you.
Becky Livingston, thank you very much. Terrific presentation. We know a whole lot more about Google Ads than when we started. Just enough to make us dangerous. Thank
yes.
you. So we do have a number of questions, but my question is this. We now know enough to make us dangerous.
Yes.
What is the danger of not knowing the right things, of ignorance in this, of going in with only a little bit of knowledge?
The danger is that you don't know how to avoid spending where you don't want to spend. You know your target market, but maybe you forget to exclude things. Like, for example, if I'm running a campaign directed toward millennials, I don't want my ad showing up for 55, 65, 45 year olds. Millennials end at 40 now. So the oldest millennials are 40. So we have to keep that in mind. They're not 18 anymore. So oldest millennials, maybe we're doing some estate planning stuff. So we want to exclude the audiences in the ad campaigns where our age group isn't. So we have to really think through the whole thing. And that's the danger part. People don't, they're like, yeah, just throw it out there. Just want it to run in Indianapolis for 5 days a week. Here's your budget, $200. Make it work. Well, that's not going to work because I'm going to be hitting every age group, every household income, every gender. So I'm hitting thousands of people that are never, we don't want to target. So that's the danger, is not thinking through the target piece and excluding who you don't want. That's dangerous.
Thank you.
Sure.
We do have some questions in the chat box and in the Q&A. One of the first deals with remarketing. Mm. Neil wants to know, does remarketing require additional pricing?
No. Isn't that exciting? I love this. This is the part that people think. I mean, people think Google is expensive, and it is if you don't know what you're doing. It's totally expensive because you're just throwing money at it and hoping it sticks. The remarketing piece is built into their tools, and here's why. If Google's ads aren't effective, people won't click on them. And that's an ad, that's a revenue stream for them. It's a huge revenue stream for them. So by having the opportunity for them to say, well, when you throw an ad in our platform, we're going to automatically remarket this on our other 250 platforms for you, and it's included in your price. And you're like, that sounds too good to be true. Well, yeah, because most people don't know how to do it correctly. So yeah, they're making a ton of money on people who don't know how to do Google ads effectively. But for people like me who do this all the time, I'm like, well, thank you, Google, for making my platform, because I'm doing it effectively versus someone who's spending per click $8 a click and Google saying, oh, thank you very much for spending $8 a click and not knowing what you're doing. We'll let the other person who knows what they're doing get the deal. So, yeah, it doesn't cost any more to remarket with them.
Becky, the questions are starting to roll in now.
Okay.
One of them is from Leah. It should be an easy question to answer. Is Karuya free?
Yes.
No. Yes. Really?
Yeah, it is. I use a lot of free tools. Because I don't want to add costs to my client's budget if I don't need to. So if I tell them their ad campaign is $50 a day for whatever period of time, I don't want to also say, oh, and by the way, there's fees for me, there's fees for Karuya, there's fees for this. No, that's not how we work. We tell you how much it costs for us to write the creative if we need to write it. We tell you how much it costs if you want us to create the landing page. We'll do that for you as well. But if you create all the parts and you say to me, we want to run some ad campaigns, we need you to do the research and set up the campaign, that's what I'm going to give you pricing for. Doing the research and running the campaign. We'll give you the estimated budget, et cetera. Go ahead.
Becky, we do have a couple questions on how much you charge. Sounds like people are interested in hiring you. We're going to save those for later. Let me clear out some of the earlier questions.
Sure.
What's the average spend you have seen, which is effective?
Outside of, let's say, during busy season, as I had mentioned, tax busy season, cost per click can be, roughly between $6 a click to $54 a click. So the budget goes crazy. We have to, and what we can do is we can look at history to see what that's going to look like so we can maximize your budget effectively. But on average, again, based on geography, average, I can say a cost per click in the accounting industry is about $1.50. High or low, either way, 20%. So I can get ads for 60 cents a click to $2.25 a click. Depends on geography, how hot the term is. Depends on a couple of factors, but you'll see that ahead of time because I do history research and then I do current budget research so that we know what it looked like in the past based on previous research geographically, and then we can look at what it's going to cost current state. So for example, PPP loans. Hello, last year the cost for anything with PPP loan in it, bing, Google says hot trending topic. You're going to pay for that. This year, it's cheap. Nobody's talking about it because it's the pay back your loan period. So it's cheaper this year than it was last year. Last year, and they didn't have any history because we never had it before. So we had no idea going in how much it was going to cost until we started to run ads. And we had to adjust things to make sure we were maximizing our ad dollars.
I have a question. You talk about clicks and leads. How do those translate into new clients? How many clicks, how many leads do you need for a new client?
So that's a great question. And it doesn't always have to be based on click. We can also do advertising based on conversion, which means Google follows the person through your site to make sure they're completing the action. Clicks don't always equate to a lead. I can get lots of people to click on something, but they don't complete the action, and we need them to complete the action. So I might have an ad campaign that's running fabulously, but the client will say, I'm not getting any leads. So then we know something's falling down on the website side. We need to adjust something there. So it's a bit of smoke and mirrors and research for us to say the ad creative is working. It falls down on the website, or vice versa. The ad creative stinks. You pay more money for that, but they're converting when they get there. So it depends. That's why one of the what must we do things was a really good landing page, because that's what's going to hook the person. My ad's going to get them started. It's going to get them through the door. Let's just think about a storefront. The outside of the store looks fantastic. You open the doors, it looks like a rummage sale in there, and that's not what you went there for. Oop, done, backing up, going out of the store. You didn't even get a chance. You could have had the best deal of your life in there, but because it didn't feel right to you, you didn't go in. Here, we can create the most perfect ads, but if they get to the site and it doesn't feel like it's supposed to for that audience, it's a fail. I can't tell you how many leads you're going to get. It depends on the experience.
So it sounds like one of the prerequisites is a good landing page. It sounds like Yes. You kind of have to start from the end and work yourself forward to Google Ads. What other prerequisites do you want to make sure you have in place before you really get serious about Google Ads?
One of the things is if your landing page, it needs to be built correctly, which means there has to be keywords in the back end. There has to be a proper description in the back end. There has to be a proper title with branding in the back end. The page needs to be built effectively. And you also have to have analytics on the website. It doesn't have to be Google Analytics, which are free, but it needs to have some kind of analytics so you can track things to your website. The other thing that I often recommend is creating, especially on WordPress folks, there's some plugins you can use to install tagging, which actually tag the actions people take on your website. Are they downloading? Are they completing forms? Are they listening to podcasts? Are they watching video? That also feeds into your analytics, which we can look at. Most of your people don't read, they listen to podcasts. Therefore, when they go to your landing page, there has to be an audible version available. So we build the page correctly, write the forms, write the ads effectively, and that's the marriage made in heaven.
What are the metrics we should be looking at? Brian says, what is the lead to click-through percentage?
That's a very great, oh, I love that question. The percentage, and I hate to say this, but it varies by client. Again, it depends on how effective everything is. But the average return on investment is over 20% when done effectively.
Wait a minute. The average return on investment is over 20% when done effectively?
Yes.
Can you guarantee that? How reliable a number is that?
I can't guarantee that because it depends on the other person. If I don't build the parts that come with this, if I'm not the person guiding the process and you give me a really crappy landing page, your return on investment is going to be zero because it's a bad experience. You're the rummage sale behind the beautiful front door. if you don't tell me that, if you're not honest with me about the agenda, and sometimes this happens when it's a multi-partner firm, what the business goal is, if it's truly to gain leads in this industry for this service geographically, if you don't tell me that truth line, I'm going to be going and hitting some other metric. And you're like, well, we didn't get any leads in Indiana. Well, no, because you told me to run ads in Mississippi. How are you going to get ads in Indiana or people from Indiana if you told me to run the ads in Mississippi? So
it's a long commute.
I mean, it's truth. You have to know what you're trying to spend money on. If you don't know, it's supposed to be stick to the wall theory. It might work, it might not.
Don in the chat box says he's just Googled accountants near him, and half the pages are national ads. Is that an advantage for a small firm or a disadvantage?
Well, coming from KPMG, I'm going to say, and being a small business owner, I'm not going to be able to afford KPMG. I mean, shoot, they used to bill me out at $700 an hour. So when I'm looking at that, it depends on your target. So say you're in New York City. Yeah, there's a lot of big firms around New York. I mean, I'm from this area. So there's a lot of big firms here, but I'm a small business owner, or I'm a woman business owner, and I'm looking for a woman accounting firm, a woman-based accounting firm with women partners and that kind of thing. That could be a niche that just, it's not going to be right for everybody, but when it is right, hello, that's the 20%er right there. Boom, you got your person. So can it be right for you? Absolutely. I have some of my clients say in their ads, big firm services, customized, you know, customer service oriented. So you got big firm services, but we're focused on humans. I mean, if you've ever worked in a big four, you know that it's a burn and churn. It's an environment that's unlike any other. So yeah, it can absolutely be a benefit.
And you lived to talk about it. We have another couple of questions, not necessarily specifically about Google Ads, but mm-hmm. close enough. We have a question from somebody who says, I have two Google reviews, both from the same person and both bad. Mm-hmm. How does he deal with that?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. If you have more clients than that person, ask your clients to put reviews out there for you. It's okay. You can ask them. If they're happy with their service, hey, throw us out a review. Put that in the bottom of your newsletter. Put it in the email signature. You know, if you like what we're doing with you, tell us and put that in there. That will start to push the bad reviews to the bottom, the more higher reviews that you get. You can also, if you have a Google local business page with a Gmail account for your firm, you can contact Google and say, this person, you give them the story. This person is a disgruntled whatever. We'd like to review, you know, have the reviews removed. They're damaging our brand. There's all kinds of ways that you can, you know, kind of get that message across to Google to say, you know, this is bad for us. And they don't always do this, but they may suppress one or both of them. But my recommendation is go ask your clients that like you to go out and tell the world they like you.
And a question about Facebook ads. How do Facebook ads compare with Google ads? Compare and contrast.
They're more expensive per click. They're more expensive per click, probably. So let's say I might spend 75 cents on Google. I'll spend $1.50 on Facebook. Same ad, same creative, same geography. It costs more on Facebook. Facebook is also very particular about how their ads are created. So I can't take a one-to-one. I can't take the ad I wrote for Google and stick it on Facebook. They don't like each other, so they don't work together very well. It can be very effective if that's where your audience is. So I'm going to pop back over to those 40-year-old millennials. They have kids now, some of them. Facebook might be back in their wheelhouse, but it's not their favorite place to hang out. They have kids in school. But let's say your target market is 55 to 70 or 80. Facebook is still a place you might want to go, depending on what kind of service that you're talking about. So it can be effective. Cost per click, a little bit higher than Google. It is not as expensive as LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the most expensive social platform to advertise on, and probably the most difficult to get a turn on conversion, meaning people doing something other than liking or clicking your ad. Facebook can be effective. It's a pain in the butt to work with, though.
Leah, thanks for the question about LinkedIn. We have a couple of questions, but I want to ask one or two for myself. How has COVID changed things? I mean, we're all working more virtually. Everything seems more digital. Everything seems less personal and face-to-face. It seems like we're spending more time in front of screens. Is that good or bad, or how do we deal with that?
That's a great question. Other than, you know, putting COVID in every message that you send out, which of course won't get clicked on these days, personalization is really important. So when we start thinking about advertising, it's not a them, they, business kind of words. It's you, we, us, together, team. We're looking at relationship building in a virtual space, just like you do with Zoom and everything else that people are doing. Advertising too. When someone says small business owner, I don't want to use the term small business owner. I want to use the term you. Do you have problems with processing payroll every month? Not does your small business have problems, because your small business is not even an entity. It's an inanimate object. So are you having trouble with payroll every month? We can help. Here's how. Or join our webinar where we'll teach you three things that you can do today to adjust your future for tomorrow. You, us, we.
You, us, we. What? What are accountants advertising these days? It was PPP for a while. You told us not so much anymore because we're in the payback period. What's trending now in terms of, I guess, keywords?
Virtual CFO. For some reason, there's been a big swing in the last 16 months about virtual CFO. I guess more people are looking for them. And that makes sense. People don't always need a full-time accountant on board. They don't need a controller on board as an employee. So, you know, if there's opportunities for you to offer that service virtually, a lot of people are willing to talk about that. Payroll services, for whatever reason, people offering software solutions, people handling, you know, quarterly payments, anything. I mean, there's been so many changes in payroll in the last 12 months. You know, with the deferral that took place in the first quarter, now we're starting to talk about some Social Security stuff, and then we've got HSA numbers going up next year. Are there things that we need to help educate your internal payroll people? How can we help consult with that? And then that's when you start to upscale with some other services you might offer. Payroll is big right now. A lot of people are running bookkeeping ads, which kind of is smaller firms usually. Make me wonder why they're running bookkeeping ads, but I guess it's kind of like a baseline service, something simple that the juniors can do, I guess, get their feet wet. Tax ads will start very soon.
I like the idea of a virtual CFO and payroll, because they're not hourly based billing. They're bundled and packaged flat rate billing.
Yep. Retainer.
When tax ads start to get started, do you have a notion of what the kind of what the hot buttons might be?
Yep.
By that time, do you think we'll have a new tax code between Congress and Biden?
I wish they'd just leave things alone for 1 year. Please, just stop changing the dates. Let us get through this stuff. when I think about taxes, of course, there's business side, there's individual side. The individual stuff starts to take place. Usually I tell clients to max their ad spend at the end of February, because in March is when really you should have your people. You probably have enough returns by the beginning of March that you don't want a whole bunch more people coming in. And that's when the cost starts to go up. So things that are going to be important, which is terrible to think about, is tax filings for deceased. A parent dies, a husband dies, a spouse dies, a sibling dies. You're the person who has to file. You're the estate attorney, you know, the estate planner. You have to get those taxes filed. You have to do that before for somebody. Maybe you do your own taxes. It's a little different when it comes to, you know, filing the last 1040 for somebody, making sure that gets in on time, if there's any penalties. There's all kinds of stuff related to that right now that we still need to be thinking about, unfortunately. Nobody's running ads on that. So that means it's going to be cheap to run them. And when you find the people, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be relationship building worthy. Whatever you do with that customer is what's going to create a potential opportunity for you for a while. If you really butcher it terribly, then they'll never call you back. But if you help them through that situation, then anything can happen from there, from estate planning to financial planning to college stuff. I mean, it's just, there's a multitude of life opportunities that your firm could offer to someone like that.
Life opportunities. That's a neat idea. Antonio has a question related to tax, but not to busy season. How about services that are not specific to busy season, such as tax resolution services?
Oh, I have a client that does tax resolution. He's convinced the real estate market's going to need him a lot after all this crazy boom goes away. Yeah, tax resolution is, it's a crazy thing, because it's not something people, it's not like tax services that there's a required period of time that people have to do this. But there's a lot of misnomers about tax resolution that, you know, you can get assistance through different tools that the IRS offers. There's ways to reduce the amount of debt that you owe, get rid of some penalties. There's lots of things you can do with tax resolution. Again, it's a very particular audience. So the more you know about the who you want to advertise this to, the better off you're going to be. Now, there's a multi-level play that I would put toward this, is making sure that, you know, you're also involved with mailing lists and things like that for people who are on the tax resolution emails and mailing opportunities that are available in your area, but then also running ads. And those won't cost a lot, because it's not something that happens a lot. It's not like tax season. So a tax resolution ad campaign won't bring you in 5 or 10 or 20 leads a month, but when someone needs it and they find you, then that's the lead. And it could take 2, 3, 4, 6, 12 months. But once they find you, that's the hook. They found you. Because a lot of times they don't know they need you until they need you, right?
Right.
You don't know you need a will when you're 18 years old. Oh, I'm going to live forever. 20, you're still thinking you're living forever. By 30, you're going, holy smokes, I have a kid and a dog. I need a will. Who's going to take care of the dog? No. You know, it's all those life moments. And sometimes you get stuck in these tax situations. It scares the daylights out of you.
You were talking about maximizing the spend at the end of February. Mm-hmm. How does something like this ramp up? When do you start spending? And then how do you ramp up to that maximum point at the end of February?
So when we talk about individual tax spending, we usually start right around the second week of January, monitoring if the IRS is going to change the date for start, like they did this year. They moved it to February. So we do monitor that, and we can also monitor them off. So we start the campaign at the beginning of January because people are starting to think about it. And that's with, here's your checklist to get your ducks in a row. You know, what documents do you need? What format do you need? How do you use a portal? We can walk you through all that. And then we start to aggressively adjust the ads the closer the actual season gets. So when the IRS says we're launching on, you know, January, whatever it's going to be, 28th or 15th or whatever it is, that's when we start saying, okay, you've got your documents, let's get them in. Here's what the process looks like. And then we run the ads generally, take them past March 10th or 15th, because by then my accounts are like, I'm not even going to be done before April 15th. I'm already telling people extensions. So we usually, I don't, unless they move it to June, like they did in some states this year, or May, then we can run the ads longer. But what's going to happen? The people who are usually the ones that come on April 1st are the ones that are coming in on June 1st. So you have to decide, do you want them or not?
It seems like busy season has gone year round. There's no beginning and no end.
And for business tax, that's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
We have a number of questions about how people get started. What do they need to do first? What can they give to an admin for starters? What do they need to give to their web person for starters? At what point do they eventually come to you? And then how do you work with them?
That's a great question.
How do you answer that?
The first thing they have to think about is what it is they want to promote. What is the thing? And it could be more than one thing. You can run multiple campaigns at a time. But let's say you want to run a year-end tax planning seminar. So let's say you want to run that. Don't run it in December. It's too late. You want to run that at the beginning of November. Back that up 6 weeks. You get the landing page created. You start identifying your email list. Your admin can do that part, identifying the email list. You start looking at the dates that you're going to run it, who's going to speak, and what the topics are. Kind of like what we did for this one. Rick called me, I don't know, a month and a half ago and said, hey, let's do something. I said, what are we going to talk about? We put some ideas together and then we started promoting it. Created a landing page. We defined the target market. We used our existing media, social media, email, whatever platforms we have, and then say, okay, let's throw $100 at this thing and increase our registrations. So you have to start with the what. What is the thing that we're giving away? That giving is not the word. Promoting. What is the thing that we're promoting? If it's tax services, what about tax services and to whom? If it's payroll, what about payroll and to whom? If it's employee benefit plan audits, what's the benefits and to whom? Tax resolution, why and to whom? That's what you need to start with. Because if you don't know and you rely on me to know, I can give you some generalities, but it might not be your target market at all.
And how do you like to work with people? At what point should an accounting firm reach out to Becky Livingston and Pendule Marketing?
That's a wonderful question. I do all kinds of different things for firms. Very few of my firms do retainers. Some of them we do, where we're doing a bunch of marketing things for them, from blog writing to website design and development, to landing pages to ads. We do a whole bunch of things. I have some other clients that call me once a year and say, hey, we want to run tax ads, or we want to run audit ads, or we want to run financial planning ads. And they reach out to me once a year. We start about a month in advance. So we say, what changed? What landing page are we going to? Who's your audience? We look at what we did last year, if we had anything. If not, we do research. So it depends. I do project-based work with clients, one-off things. I gave a client earlier this year, he wanted a logo. So that's all we did for him was a logo. Was there an opportunity to do more? Sure, if he wanted it, he knows what we do. I have other clients that we do 10 or 15 things a month for them. So it just depends on what you need. We can bill by the hour. We can put a package together. We can spread it over a period of months if we're like, okay, this will be a 3-month project, and then it ends and we pick it up again next year if you want. It's pretty flexible. We're a small shop. We try to do what we can for smaller firms. Like I said, I came up through KPMG. I'm absolutely not working with large firms. They can't move fast enough. It's the small guy who needs the service quickly for a specific thing that we're here for. Help you get that done, get it over the line.
We've got 1 minute left. Okay. Becky, what's the main takeaway you want people to take away from today's session?
Don't be afraid of Google Ads. They don't cost a lot of money when done well. So think about a promotion that you might want to run. Let's talk about it. Let's see what the budget would look like. Let's get it out there. Let's try it. I mean, if you're willing to spend $4 on a cup of coffee, give me 4 days of coffee money or 10 days of coffee money, and let's see what we can do for you. Right?
Becky Livingston, Penn Hill Marketing, Google Ad Tips for Accountants. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you here. See you online.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.